This week in the parish of Bourses and Market Structure, India starts T+0, Aquis powers ahead, SGX changing CCP rules, and JSE's IPOs rising. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest, episode 238. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. And remember, of course, this Easter weekend, we will be off on Good Friday and Easter Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Over in Parish Notes, Aquis prove our model. Ultimately, the top level and a brief drill down in the Aquis results for the year are very encouraging. The main trading venue is breaking through the 5% threshold for equity volume across Europe, which is a fabulous achievement. The SME growth market listed more stocks in AIM for the second year in a row, and the tech division had a couple of good sales to boot. The story here is not merely a rather indefatigable tale of Alistair Haynes making a unique startup market, but also one of just how the exchange model actually works. Way back when, Alistair envisioned selling stocks akin to cell phones, a bundle of services for one price. The general market view was this was dumb because it was an innovation. Sorry, it's hard to discount the sheer immutable inflexibility of much of the market to understanding progress when it's outside the purely linear. The key takeaway here, as Aquis profits grow to almost $7 million a year, is another resounding vote of confidence in our model, the exchange model. Exchanges, marketplaces, remain a fabulous profit generator as soon as they reach scale. Over in BitCarnage, by the time you listen to this, we will be celebrating Easter, and it will be an unholy week for SBF in the Valley of the Depraved Supervillain, as he is due to be sentenced sometime later, Thursday the 28th of March, just before Good Friday. SBF, the crypto king of random, probably bad ideas, can go to prison with the self-appointed epithet of Depraved Supervillain, as noted by Cointelegraph, which is how apparently he views the perspective of a 50-year sentence in the slammer. Certainly the FTX CEO cum liquidator Robert Ray made it very clear he was closer to the villain end of the scale on SBF judgment, having cleared up the mess left behind at FTX. As the headline went, FTX's caretaker boss blasts Sam Bankman-Fried's life of delusion ahead of sentencing, and that was none other than the Brussels Bugle itself, the Financial Times. The market was 6.5 to 50 years, with the prosecutors looking in a range of 40 to 50. Let's see what eventuates. However, the SBF legal team are eagerly pursuing, as we record, the notion that high redemptions due to AI investments and crypto values rising mean real dollar value returns will be significant for FTX creditors. But had the original investments been held in crypto and AI, I hasten to note, the money of the selfsame creditors would have quadrupled rather than merely being returned a year late. Elsewhere in the world of distributed fecklessness, 3AC co-founder Kyle Davis says he won't apologise for crypto hedge fund going bankrupt. Don't even start me on these awful people. Mr. Davis remains a fugitive from Singaporean justice while in the tricky position of apparently having surrendered his US passport in order to take Singaporean nationality. He may be hiding out in Portugal, according to certain reports. Then there was crypto fugitive Do Kwon, who was out of a Montenegro jail last weekend pending extradition. Albeit, Do Kwon is awaiting the ongoing lottery of where he gets extradited to, South Korea or the USA. After listening to these stories, it is perhaps unsurprising that the Register reports crypto scams are more costly to the US than ransomware, according to the feds. Meanwhile, one Binance executive was indicted for tax evasion in Nigeria, but embarrassingly for the Nigerian authorities, his colleague managed to slip away thanks to a Kenyan passport after surrendering his British one. On April the 1st, Coinbase will launch Doge Futures, saying it has transcended meme origins. At first we thought, could it be a meta joke? On reflection, we suspect not, as in all his public outpourings, it appears Brian Armstrong's sense of humour has long since been at best distributed. Anyway, somebody, somewhere, will be the butt of an April Fool's prank, methinks. If you enjoyed this excerpt, you may be interested to know that you can read BitCarnage every day on Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, a daily update on happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. In the world of exchanges this week, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange finally sees its IPO crisis easing, reports MoneyWeb, and it is good to see JSE CEO Leila Fury anticipating up to 10 listings in 2024, while the exchange will be trading carbon credits within 2 months, according to a report in Bloomberg. Meanwhile, Singapore Exchange will launch commitment of trader data for commodities during Q3. And indeed, SGX are seeking views on a proposed cap refinement on clearing member liability for multiple defaults. The major event of the week in terms of settlement is, by the time you listen to this, we will have T+0 in India. It launched Thursday 28th, just as the West was preparing for the Easter holidays. Where the EU is thinking about talking about it, or is it talking about thinking about it? Whatevs. The US is heading to T+1 and India has just leapt to T+1 and a quarter later is trying out T+0. Easier in a world where you have no stock lending, but still nonetheless pretty impressive. Don't forget, of course, to check out my article on this topic of T+1, which was published in the Vermiculus newsletter during the course of March. You can find that at vermiculus.se. In new markets this week, the Chittagong Stock Exchange has received the license of the country's maiden commodity exchange from the securities regulator. That was on Wednesday, March the 20th, nearly 4 months after they published their rules. That's going to be operating as a subsidiary within the Chittagong Stock Exchange organisation. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast. In deals this week, the big news of the week was Bourse Dubai selling a $1.6 billion stake in Nasdaq, losing its spot as top shareholder. At first, Nasdaq stock looked worried, but despite a mini shock, it was down a mere 2.5% on the day, and in fact was up by the time we recorded this podcast over the course of the following week. Yes, there was surprise that Bourse Dubai would sell down, but at the same time, they wanted to lock up their remaining 10.8% holding, potentially 10.1% if underwriters exercise options on a remaining block. Don't forget, Bourse Dubai took their Nasdaq stake back in September 2007, while their LSEG stake was sold in 2015. They have stuck with Nasdaq and look to be there for a while yet, having just signed an 18-month lock-up to their remaining stake. If you're trying to work out what's going on in the world of bourses going forward, don't forget you can pick up a copy of my most recent book, Victor or Death, Blockchain, Cryptocurrency and the FinTech World. It's published by DV Books and distributed by Ingram Worldwide. While you're waiting for your copy of Victor or Death to arrive, check out our live stream Tuesdays at, generally speaking, it's going to be 5 o'clock London time for the course of April. We are back to midday New York time, the IPO video live show. You can catch the back episodes on LinkedIn and YouTube via IPO-Vid. Our last show was Modernizing Markets, episode IPO-Vid 137 with Magnus Haglund, the boss of the overall Nasdaq Technology Sales Division. And a great show it was to have Magnus joining us for a very, very interesting show. Don't forget, from April the 9th, we're going to be back. We're having a week off for Easter over the course of the 2nd of April, because it's rather tricky as everybody's in transit after their Easter holidays. Finance Book of the Week this week. Don't forget, if you want to, you can get the details of the Finance Book of the Week a week earlier. Just sign up to our free weekend newsletter at exchangeinvest.com. And while you're there, don't forget, you could also get a 1 month free trial to the Exchange Invest Daily Newsletter, also available via the same spot at exchangeinvest.com. Anyway, this week's Book of the Week was written by Nassim Nicholas Taleb. The Black Swan, The Impact of the Highly Improbable, is an investigation of opacity, luck, uncertainty, probability, human error, risk, and decision-making in a world we don't understand. And take it from me, if you haven't already, it's a must read. And don't forget, if you want something else that's must-read and it gives you all the news on the bourse business sent daily to your inbox, subscribe to Exchange Invest via exchangeinvest.com. We're giving away a free monthly trial at the moment. It's only $375 per user per year thereafter to join the exchange of information. There was lots of product news this week, particularly indices and index futures aplenty. All the news was in Exchange Invest Daily, the bulletin of the bourse business. Let's take one highlight. The VIX is going to Brazil. S&P Dow Jones Indices and B3 have launched the first implied volatility index for Brazil's domestic market based on the Cboe VIX index methodology. Over in career paths, Christian Royce has bid farewell to SIX Swiss Exchange. After 15 incredible years, the time has come for me to bid farewell to Swiss Exchange, noted Christian in a note on LinkedIn. I started as CEO of Scotch, the former joint venture by Deutsche Börse and Swiss Exchange, and finished as head of SIX Swiss Exchange. All the very, very best to Christian Royce, who has had a terrific run at SIX. He's replaced on an interim basis by the SIX Swiss Exchange head of trading, Werner Burki. And that leaves us neatly and elegantly into the world of Big World, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, let's have a fun fact. In 1930, despite or perhaps because of the Great Depression, 65% of Americans were going to the cinema weekly. In 2023, 4% of Americans were going to the cinema weekly. Our ACE research team have been unable to corroborate this statistic, but my guess is, I would say right now about 65% of all Americans fall asleep watching Netflix or HBO or similar every single week in the comfort of their own homes. But here's a thought for a new market, albeit a single gram would upend the entire planet's CCP provisioning, where in the status quo, parish CCPs are doing a great job in balancing the risk before this commodity was added. So, how about antimatter futures, anybody? It seems the substance weighs in at a staggering $62.5 trillion per gram. Now, global GDP right now is about $105 trillion, so 2 grams of antimatter, and you can make considerable headway in buying the world, in some sense or another. Total CCP collateral, according to the BIS, liquid assets and CCPs and systemic liquidity risks, was $1.3 trillion in June of 2023. So, precisely 2 grams worth of antimatter right now. And you thought saffron was expensive at $10,000 a kilo after 150 flowers are pressed to create a single gram. In terms of untapped potential, there are big possibilities for antimatter in energy and medicine, to name but 2 avenues. However, I think prices may have to come down a bit before we can get around to the exchange-traded derivative variance. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this EI Weekly podcast number 238. Join us daily via exchangeinvest.com, or if you have a new exchange you'd like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young. I wish you a great week in life and markets, and a very happy Easter to all celebrating. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.